Little quiz time. What's the current series? Here it is. Having a what? Fresh start. I know it's a fresh year. It's a fresh start. So if you've been here for a while, great. If you haven't, I'm going to catch up right here. Current series is having a fresh start. It's beginning again. Even when you don't feel like it, it's like you get up and keep going. So see if you remember a couple things that we've talked about in this series. We got to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Anybody ever guilty of that? Absolutely. Man, in the ninth grade, I failed an English test. How old are you? 80? I mean, forget it. Let it go. You can't do anything about the past, so do not dwell on the past. If you do, get discouraged. Oh, I really messed up. Haven't we all? Because Jesus says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Through the prophet Isaiah, he said, see, I'm doing a new thing. How often do you have the chance to do a new thing? Every day. Let's do a new thing. Sun's rising. It's good. Let's get going. If you're doing a new thing, consider this then. We got a fresh start. We want to do this. We're going to set some goals in this new year. We're going to have a vision. We're going to start off and we're going to be doing good. And I guarantee you this next thing, we're just going to try your best. And you're going to mess up. And then when you mess up, you just make adjustments, get up, keep going. You've got to do this. You've got to keep going. So when the devil knocks you down, keep going. Number four, can't emphasize that enough. So what did Winston Churchill say? Don't give up. Don't give up. As long as you get up, don't give up. But get up, you're in good shape. So I thought of these things. The Christian life is all about starting over. Sometimes it's a dynamic start. Sometimes it's just a daily start. That means sometimes it's, woo, it's huge. Like moving into this building was a dynamic change for us. Coming here every Sunday might just be a weekly thing. So like the daily start. And so what you've got looking for a dynamic, if you ask Jesus in your heart, I guess that's a dynamic start. I know it's a dynamic start. But if you're here today and saying, well, I just need some encouragement, you've come to the right place. Whether it's a dynamic start or a daily start, consider this. It is a chance for a fresh start right now. If you're a NASCAR fan, I don't know if you are or not, but we wave the green flag and the race starts. That's a dynamic start. Everybody's excited. It's like the kickoff of a football game. Everybody's excited. And then everybody just sort of settles down. Anybody ever done that before? You know, everybody crowds up, stands up like, yeah, kickoff. Okay, now let's all find your seats. Unless you're at the Giles game, you just stand up the whole time. I don't know. It's like, can you please sit down? You with the watermelon head. I can't see none of you. You always have the big people stand up right in front of you. But we're going to have a dynamic start. Wave the green flag and boom, then the race begins. And here's what you feel like in the middle of this week. Long back Tuesday or Thursday or whatever, you've had a dynamic start. And then you think, oh, I'm in the race with everybody. I'm at the office. I'm at the school. I'm just going through my daily routine. And you occasionally, what they call it in the NASCAR, they trade paint. You ever trade paint with people in your daily walk? Grant, you ever have something? I would like to return this. It's like you've worn it for 3 years. You can't bring it back. You know, it's like, and that's what you have to do. You got to deal with things that are, but then you, hey, I'm okay. Get your good breath. You got that daily start. Now, if we let ourselves get down too much, we feel like we're in the what? We're in the pits, and you just sort of tend to stay there if you're not careful. So you got to get out of the pits. It's the only thing worse than getting in the pits. Here's what's worse than the pits. You get in the pits, you fix the car, and they say, we're going to make some big-time adjustments. They put you behind the wall and put you in the what? Garage. I don't stay in the garage. I can't. So here's what I want you to do. If you feel like you're in a garage, get back out this week. Start racing again. Get out of the garage, go back onto the track, and there we are racing. You say, I can't. Yes, you can. God offers fresh starts. Here's a verse to remind you. One thing I do is exactly what Isaiah says. Paul later says in the New Testament, forgetting what's behind me. See, you're tied down. You got baggage. You get weighted down if you worry about your past. Forgetting what's behind me, I strain towards what is ahead. It's almost like for the next few moments, just let everything be perfect. No laundry to do, no dishes to wash, no everybody there. No, just for a few moments have peace. It's like a little slice ahead of me. So have a fresh start. Next, after last week, we talked about growth then. In this new year, I want you to grow. You got a fresh start, just like NASCAR. Here's the green flag. What about bang, trade? I don't care. Keep going. Get in the pits, come back out of there. But I got you this idea last week. We've got to grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I think I'm the one who plants. We're a church planting team here. We water, we help you, but then sooner or later, God helps you to grow. And I want us to cooperate with you. It all comes from Him. So here's the next thing. After we start growing, I thought of the parable of the sower. We talked a little bit about this last week, and there's really four kinds of seed. See if you remember what the seeds are. Y'all remember? The seed falls on what kind of ground? The first ground that God's Word, and God's Word is the seed. First ground that it falls on is what? Well, it falls on the pathway. Chris, you're right. Check out these next pictures and I'll show you. The seed falls on the pathway. And when the seed hits, birds can come in and yank it away, and it's like a ball going into a crowd. Everybody snatches that ball. Everybody's diving after that. Well, the devil wants to dive it and kick it away from you. The devil even wants you defeated or in hell. You know that, don't you? He's not our friend at all. He's our adversary. An adversary that walks about like a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he may. Well, that's nasty. I'm just telling you the truth. You do want the truth. See, the devil's the kind of person that would come up and he'd kick a baby across the street.
Really?
Yeah, he's cruel. He'll come after you. You've just seen how many dead right here. C.T. Studd, the great Scottish missionary, said, "I want the devil so angry with me so when I die, he rejoices." That's what we all do. We want to make him mad. Really? I can't have people snatch the word away from you. I want you to hear the word today. Just like in this moment, the devil might try to take your mind over there. Fight that. Stay focused. The devil wants to snatch away your attention. Don't let him snatch it away. He says he sows seed, and some people, they don't even get a chance hardly to respond. It's almost like, "Brown, would you like a stick?" "Oh, a stick of gum?" Well, the kids grab it. Sorry, Brown never even got a chance to get it. Here's the next way the seed comes in. Sometimes it's snatched away, then I thought of this. Sometimes it falls on what kind of soil? Rocky soil. And rocky reminds me of this. It's those people who receive what I'm saying, but they don't really receive it. Matter of fact, here's a little training picture to think of. They receive the soil, and they begin to this, and then after a couple weeks, they die down, and you don't ever see them again. So really what they came for, they were emotional. I see that at camp sometimes. I got to fight that. When I speak at camp, teams like, "Oh, I want to go to the mission field. I want to go to Jupiter." You know, they're all excited that week. Next week, they're right down there what they used to be. So if they made that decision, it wasn't a real one. It's sort of like walking an aisle, raising a hand. That doesn't save you. What saves you is inviting Christ into your heart and having that change of attitude, intention. Say, "Jesus, I want you to change me." It's not just like, well, okay, it's an emotional high. So, you know, like us, coming out of the Rocky movie in 5 minutes, 2 weeks, whatever it is, we're back to normal, or at least what they call normal. So it's an emotional high. So the seed snatched, it's an emotional thing. Sometimes it's this. People actually look like they have changed for a while, but then instead of growth, the worries and the doubts and the things of life sort of come along and they do this to us. They choke us. And so when they begin choking us out, pretty soon they falter away. You meant well. Good intentions, great. Which one of these three are saved? These never even heard it. These are an emotional high. These meant well, but it's just like, "I really, well," and they don't. Here's one. We ask Jesus to come into our life, and for too long, you can't help but grow. God will bring growth to you. So cooperate with Him. Give Him some growth. Okay. You want to change life then? There's one out of those four. So I'm mentioning change. Change is good. Change is a necessary thing in Christian life. All right, consider this then. The best evidence for a saved soul is a changed life. Would you agree with that? If you truly know Jesus Christ, you say, you can't help but grow in. Now, some people who say that to Christians, okay, you say, "Well, you sound like you're preaching to us." Well, I get to do that since I'm the preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. Have you ever known people that say that they're Christians, but they don't live like it? And then you got other people, they'll show up in church, and they're lost. So they've got the lost people showing up in church, and the Christians don't come. Boy, it's a mixed up world, isn't it? I got a guy, a friend named Giles, he's a friend of mine, he would loan me in. "Here, take my tow truck, do anything." Lost on his way to hell, the greatest guy in the world. He just doesn't know Jesus. Good intentions. You got to grow. So those people say, "Well, I'm really..." Let me give you an example of that then. If you truly grow, you'll be like this. You'll be one of these four guys. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but you say, "I've been saved for a long time." Which one of these guys are you? Question mark on the list. Well, I feel like I'm a, aren't you, what would you call these? Is this a toddler? So, maybe? So you're a baby or a toddler. Been saved 20 years. Now just think, for an example right here, what if you came in here crawling on your hands and knees today? I said, "Right, you got to do that." Spiritually. That's what you're doing yourself. Or how about this? You come in, you're a teenager. Spiritual. Or what if you're the veteran? Now, can teens be this one? Oh, yeah. Ever seen people they get saved, they just take off. They got the book of John memorized about a week. They put me to shame. It's like, wow, they're growing radically. So I'm just challenging you. Whatever level you're on, we got to kick you up to the next level. Why? Because Jesus gets the glory. People see a changed life. You'll start making a difference. You'll start being a better witness. You've got to lay down the old things, pick up the new. Okay. I want you to grow in Christ. Instantly, well, some evidences of Christian life, but not limited to the following items. These are just things that popped to my mind. Check this list, a little checklist for us all. Number one, when you get saved, do we do this? A desire to change and improve for Jesus. Like, I've got to do better. I've got to. You're the kind of person that you'll stay after practice. And I think, hey, team's in the locker room getting a shower. Well, you know, I just got to kick five more field goals. I got to have this name. I've got to. You're the kind of person in a school play, you're sitting there memorizing your lines. You're the kind of person right now walking around with a book of John in your pocket. Memorizing. I've got to do this thing. You want to change. You want to improve. Number two, how about this? You want to read and study your Bible? Again, I don't need to be a Bible scholar. I'm just saying it's a desire there that wasn't there before. Number three, God gives you that desire. You just want to pray. They locked me in a cage. I'm still going to pray. I thought I couldn't do this. I said, God, now here's the full day. Here's it. And I just talk over things with him. I don't hardly ever say amen because the next prayer has already started. Number four, how about this? Would you desire to share your faith with others? Number five, desire to come to a church faithfully? It's like, I just got to be here. You know, again, that's what Jim wanted to be here today. And Jesus says, we just hate it that we're not there. You can just hear it in your voice. So disappointed. Number six, a desire to help with God's work. Tell me what I need to do. Number seven, a desire to give to God's work. So, are these just a few? You can probably think more. The bottom line, you'll have new desires. You get to check it out. It's sort of like, you ever heard this? I wanted it, my want to. You know, I got new want to's. So, I want to do this. Now, Apostle Paul said this. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can set me free? So it's like, we all struggle with this, but stay in the fight. So let me give you a good example. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to show you a man who's, if I put this chart out for him. Anybody know what this chart is, you chemistry people from high school? This is called it's a litmus test to see if the substance is acid or alkali. So, how about if I had a spiritual litmus test? If I could check us today, me included, to see whether a person truly is a Christian, just saying they are. Premise being, actions speak louder than words. I'm going to read you a story today. It's found in Acts chapter 16. This man's actions are going to speak louder than words. He's going to jump right out. You're going to see an instant change. Now, if you need a Bible, there's probably one close by. If not, raise your hand and I will get you one. Anybody need a Bible? Who's the blue? Acts chapter 16, there you go. I'll get you started over there. The litmus test. Would you be afraid if somebody says, we're going to really check you out here today and see how you believe? Next. Here's an expression. You finish it for me. Here you go. If something looks like a duck, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, chances are it's this. It's a duck. And if you say, I act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, sound like a Christian, and pretty soon I can't hide it. Simon Peter, before he denied Jesus, he came up behind him, and the people around him said, you were with him. See, I can tell you've been with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were, because we saw you in the crowd. Second time. Third time they come up and says, I know you're with him. Your speech is giving you away. And what they meant was a Galilean accent. But I would like to think this. You even talk like you're saved. What did Simon Peter do that third time? He cursed with an oath and said, I don't know the man. Immediately heard a cock crow three times because Jesus is you the number three times. But the point is, Peter couldn't deny, really, that he was a saved person. You can't hide it. So if you say you are, it ought to be pretty easy. So let me show you a man that was today. This is a story in Acts chapter 16. He's going to walk like a duck. He's going to be as crazy as these guys are. Who are these guys, by the way? These are the Cameron crazies. You think, now let me see, just make sure. You think this guy's a fan of Duke? Yeah. You can't hide it.
He's mental, but I mean, you know, you can't have all those people are just crazy. Matter of fact, you might even change the color and make it orange and have these guys. They got something to cheer about. They might have the number one team in the nation for too long, so they're excited. Why are these guys there? Why are these guys painted up orange heads? Because they want everybody to know that you're a fan. Next. After the Cameron crazies and the orange wahoos, here's a guy who needs a fresh start in life. Here's a guy who needs his life changed. It's the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. You talk about a story, this is. And is this going to be, what kind of change? Is this going to be a daily change or a dynamic change? Well, read this story and I'll show you. Acts. Acts chapter 16. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 16. Starting with verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, this is Paul and Silas, missionaries, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." I got a trick question. You got to pay attention right here. Is this girl good or bad? She's bad. Who's she getting her power from? The devil. And you say, well, it sounds like she's good. She's following Paul and says, oh, these are the Most High God. Let me tell you right now, God doesn't need the devil to give you any favors. And if you scream and holler out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved," Paul didn't like that. Matter of fact, you're distracting us. She kept doing this for what? Next verse. Many days. This would be like you, Mom, after your child says, "Why? Why? 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 Because I said so!" Or you're about to drive. What? Be crazy. Paul turns with that. She kept doing this for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled. That was a kind of life. You're about to drive. He became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, what Spirit is that? That's a demon there. It's not the Holy Spirit. He said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Well, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, guess what? "We don't like you, Paul." They seized Paul and Silas, drug them off the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." Yeah. Casting out demons out of people, making things wholesome for the families. That's really an uproar. "By advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowds joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Now, I got a question for you right there. Why is the crowds joining in? They're like the Cameron crazies. Yeah, yeah, kill them, kill them. Who would kill them? I don't know. Kill them. They don't even know what they're doing. Matter of fact, it would be like the Rocky thing, you know, casting out seed. I said some people tend to be saved, but it's a what kind of high? It's an emotional high. These guys are emotional right now. They just want to string up anybody. Obviously, that's wrong. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, you whip until your back bleeds and your skin sticking to your garments and blood's dripping down your back. They didn't let them off easy. And they had been beaten for doing what? Proclaiming the name of Jesus. They were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. These guys are desperate criminals. Upon receiving such orders, he even put them in the inner cell. This would be like you almost being in solitary confinement. He fastened their feet in the stocks, which is very uncomfortable. So after Paul and Silas had been beaten, blooded, battered, they're thrown into jail. Where would you be at this time? Well, let me show you where they are. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas in there praying and singing. I don't know about you, that's got my attitude to be. Need you to work over. Mumbling you back. I need you to do it. Paul's out. I'm going to throw you in prison. they're just in there having a great time. Why? Because you never know who's listening. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were doing what? Very careful right there. Other prisoners are what? Never can do.
Wouldn't it be such a compliment when somebody comes up to your work and says, you know what?
Can I say something?
Sure.
I've watched you. I worked at Selenese. Brett still works there. His prison term isn't up yet. No, I'm just kidding. I worked there, boy. It was shift work. I'm not a big fan of shift work. Anyway. And I went in, and sometimes I'm trying to encourage you to say, do we need to stand up and say, yes, we know Jesus, yes, sir. And yet you want to be as wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You don't want to offend people, right? You got to balance. So if you never say anything, you worry, and God, I need to speak, and yet on the same hand, you don't want to run people off. So I got a job selling these, and I thought, I'm not going to start preaching yet. I'll just keep now about 20 years old. So I go about, and then finally, you know, you mentioned church. I remember I went into the break room one day, and I said, now, should we do this or that? Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, Avery. I know you're going to preach us. Wait. Let me pass around an ashtray. So they sent around an ashtray. I said, let's take up a collection for the preacher. Had 19 cents in some kind of effort. Thanks. I put it in my pocket. He's just like, that was supposed to make him mad. It was okay. And I never said a whole lot, but when I got a chance that somebody would ask me a question, I'd respond, but I never said. And I remember one day that somebody else was getting into trouble or whatever, and my boss came over and she said, somebody said, it's awesome. I said, oh, we're okay, but are they mad? I said, oh, no, I never heard him cuss. For sure, like Edgar, I've never heard him cuss. That in one mark, she said that, I thought I never realized. My silence, me not joining in, had gotten somebody's attention. So you don't have to look, I'm a Christian. You know, I mean, it's up to you. But sometimes people will notice what you don't do, and they'll tell them, there's something different to you. Well, you react different. You don't let that get you flustered. How come that? Paul and Silas, you're in jail. How can you sit in here and sing and pray? The other prisoners are listening in, and they say, there's something different about you. There's going to be something different in these prisons because the jail doors are going to come open just a minute ago, and nobody tries to escape. I'd be heading to the door. Who do you think quit Paul and Silas at that? Could very well have been the jailer. Now your turn comes. This man might have been very well one of the ones that had beaten him. Let's read verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to what? He's so desperate. About to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Paul shouted, don't harm yourself! We're all here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do? He said, how can I be like you? Wow. This is crazy. Here's what this man's about to receive. I think he's going to get a dynamic start. This Philippian jailer who's on his knees, I picture this. What do we wave the green flag at NASCAR? This man's about to wave the green flag. A fresh start, a dynamic start. That's the green flag, Andy. Here it comes. I'm going to call him PPJ, Patrick. I'm going to give him a name rather than call him the Philippian. Patrick the Philippian jailer. Is that okay with you? I just don't have a name. Philippian jailer. Let's give him. He's going to wave the flag. He's going to have a fresh start. Does his life change? Well, let's consider this Philippian jailer. Talk about a dynamic start. Here's the first thing. We've read the story. Now, a little bit of a review. A routine day at the office. This man's been going in, and he's working what I would call the what shift? What do you call it? The graveyard shift. It's midnight. So he gets ready to leave that day. He gets Patrick, let's just give him a name turn, says, honey, going in. Okay, have a good evening.
Another day at office. Routine day. Already whipped a couple of prisoners today, and they want me to work over.
And he goes in there and he's tired and he looks at the prisoners inside almost like not solitary confinement, but they're in the inner cell. They're going to have to break out and then break out again. It'd be like I locked you up in the kitchen. Even if you get out of there, you still got to get through another door.
And so he goes over there, and it's a routine day at the office for Patrick, the Corinthian jailer. He's just, does he come in, punch a time clock, blue-collar guy, and everything's normal. And here's what he does, being that routine day at the office and having a long day. He does this. He's got some responsibilities, but he's so tired from working that midnight shift. What does he do? He falls asleep. Now, you've never fallen asleep at your job, I guess. What if an air traffic controller fell asleep? How about if a pilot showed up?
No.
What's he? Relaxed? Everybody keep the seat? Somebody better check on that pilot up there. This man's asleep, and he's a guard. Sometimes what we do physically just takes us over. You sit there watching these guys, and you think, they're not going to get in the car. Go in there and put my head back for a few minutes. You already done that before, so a few minutes. If I'm sitting there at 6 o'clock news on, I think, if I can get this all commercial images for this, man. Let's back up Pat Sajak standing the wheel. What? That's an hour. That few minutes turned into 60 minutes. But when you're tired, this man's snoozing. Paul's prayer. Here's what Paul is. Prayer. I can just sort of. Jesus, I need to make a difference for these prisoners, so help me not complain and drive across. And I need to make a difference to not only these prisoners, but I need to make a difference to that guard. He doesn't understand you at all. Matter of fact, he hates us because we do sin. But you've put me in here because I could have never gotten to him. So what I need you to do is attention. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do attention. You know how to get to
boom! Like that. That's how it gets his attention. Earthquake. Yeah, right. Paul's excited. Jennifer's terrified. Jumps up. You ever done that too? Wake up, you don't know where you are. It's like, is it Friday?
Yeah.
It's like, you're so sleepy, you don't know the day. He jumps up from his desk. Coffee all over. I gotta check you. Yeah, gotta check on the prisoners. And he races out, prison door gate flying open. Oh, no, I know that y'all. There's no way. At midnight, the foundations were shaken, both in his jail and his life. Anybody want to guess what this man is going to do? Where's my prisoners? I can't even watch prisoners. I can't even help the people that put me in charge. I'm a failure. And for a few seconds, nothing matters. He doesn't think his wife and his kids are wrong. He doesn't think his people that love him. He doesn't think that there's a difference in life that he can make. He thinks, what's the use of life? He pulls out the sword and goes, they'll kill me when they come short and my prisoners are gone, so I'm just going to be punished. He pulls out his sword like this and Paul says, wait! I think there's a prisoner sitting here. He calls for the light. He comes in. Paul says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Walks down the road. I'm going to left. Let me give you a great thought right here. It'll just make you weep. Things are never as wide. No prison, that is. What's a few? It's all of them. The devil. There's no prison. Kill you to them. You're worse. And Jesus wins that day. Instead, he puts that stinking devil in his face and he says, wait a minute, there's only one or two prisoners. They're all up in here. Nothing is bad. Wait, the prisoners are still here. I've still got no job. God Almighty, what are you doing? I could care less about you, is what he was thinking. And now he says, you saved my life. You saved my job. These guys in here never left. And they're singing. And I've been hearing they're singing and praying, put me to sleep in there. I want what you got. Things are never better. Don't you believe in life? Don't harm yourself, we're all here. Verse 29, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Really, believe on Him. And don't just say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You and your household, you're going to make a difference. God's got a plan for you. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, gave him the gospel, and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. He's the one that inflicted the wounds, and now he's washing their wounds. I think there's been a radical change. Immediately he and his whole his family, I think they accepted Christ. They couldn't wait. They were baptized. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. I don't misread that. I think he's so excited about his newfound faith. You tell me what to do. Well, fresh believers, get baptized. Let me be baptized. I'm going to clean your wounds. I'm going to take you to my house. He takes them out of jail, takes them home with him. Honey, he brought some people home. Who is it? Prisoners. Why? I just want to be everything. It's sort of like the Scrooge and Dickens Christmas Carol. I want to be everything there was. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, probably the first meal they had, and the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. Quite the change for this Philippian jailer. Decision time. The Philippian jailer had that. Out of surprise, desperation, humbleness, whatever, let him just ask, "What do I have to do to be saved?" "You got to be baptized." "No, I didn't say. You got to be a church member. Church tithing. And you got to believe in Jesus." That it? Sounds simple. Well, it sounds simple, but it cost Jesus' life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be saved. What's that mean? Well, they preached the word. They said, here's what it means. There was a man called Jesus. He died on the cross. He rose again the third day. And he died to pay for the sins of the world and your sins. You need forgiveness? Absolutely. This is your second chance on life. Your life that was almost gone 5 minutes ago. "Well, I'm going to give my life to Jesus." "Are you sure? Positive?" "Yeah, yeah." Paul leads him in prayer. He says, "I pray yes, through Jesus." "But the jailer just picked you, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins." And they mean, "Forgive me for being cruel and mean to these men." After a while, Paul just quits because the man takes over. "Forgive me for being wrong. Forgive me for being cruel and mean. Forgive me for all my sins. Come into my life. Change me. Wash me. Call me to be my Savior." He's so excited. He goes and tells the wife and kids and the whole family get baptized. And all the prisoners just, yeah. This is coming. Decision time. Well, then you think of it. Maybe it's decision time for all of us. Very often God uses circumstances to speak to our hearts. He has to awaken us. He gave them an earthquake. I don't know what he's giving you. He sometimes gives people a hospital visit, maybe a cancerous situation. I don't know. Can God speak through that? Yeah, He speaks through those things. He gets us to realize that we need to be saved or that we need a closer walk with Him. He gets our attention so that we'll, "Hey, you haven't asked me for a while. I'll get your attention." Well, what do we need to do? Well, if He's got you to realize that today, that you need to be saved or brought back to God or be closer to Him, consider this thing. I want you to be like the Philippian jailer. He had to be brought to the point where the foundations of his life were shaken. You know what the old saying is? You never appreciate what you have until it's what?
Gone.
His life was almost gone. Now, I can make a movie out of this. Remember the knock on the door? Can you imagine that? The Philippian jailer. Wife opens up the door and says, "I'm sorry to tell you, but your husband committed suicide." She drops her knees. A second ending, which is so much better, opens up the door. "Honey, what are you doing home?" "You're never going to believe that. I brought some people home." "Okay, come on in, Paul, Silas, the rest of the prison." "What are you doing?" "Oh, I've been radically saved. These guys saved my wife. I was about to do myself in, and they said, stop." So like those in prison he guarded, his life was shaken. Got to shake your life up. Okay, consider this. Perhaps your life's been shaken by such earthquake experiences, bereavement, sickness, and tragedy. Through these, the Lord has been knocking at your heart's door and bringing to your awareness that you need to be saved. Maybe just to rededicate your life. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe like Todd says, "I got doubts." You got doubts and worries? Well, we don't know if there's doubts and worries. So here it is. What kind of time is it then? Well, for this man, it was decision time. For you, it's this. It is. Decision time. It's time to decide. Do you need Jesus today? Do you need to rededicate your life today? Maybe a closer walk. Maybe it's, "I just need help." Well, then So God's got you at this point right now. He didn't have to shake this building to get your attention. He's got it right now. Nobody's about to run themselves in. I'm glad we didn't reach that point either. But he does have you to a point. He didn't shake the building. He didn't cause us to have anybody drawn souls, but he has got your attention. So now, what do we do? Jesus, I need your attention. Yes, sir. That's what I need you to do. You check your walk out. Is it close to me? Because if you say you're a Christian, you better live on. If you bear the name of Christ, you better be Christ. Now, it's a tall order. He says, don't worry. You're going to need to help. Holy Spirit is a comforter and a convictor. So it's really time to decide if you like the Philippians there. Pray. Dear Jesus, today as we reach a time to decide, Lord, we just got to decide right now. Are we going to choose to walk with you and be close to you? We just, I need to wait and just do it on my own time. Oh, Jesus, there's no time like the present. And how can we neglect such a great salvation? Today is the day. You should never harden our heart. But every time you say no, it just seems a little bit easier to say no. So Jesus, the Lord, help us, Lord. Straighten your face and say, Jesus, I'm going to be yours. If someone here doesn't know you, then that's what you do. Jesus, some of us just say, we've got you in our hearts. We're saved, you know what? Sometimes we get burdened down. We just need to sort of let it all out. So God is yours. I'm worried about this now. I don't worry anymore. I'm going to cast all my stuff on you. I'm going to lay all my cares to you. I'm going to lay it to you. So with your head bowed now, would you do this? Would you consider what you need to give up to Jesus? And his cares and worries on this. Thanks, Jesus. And say, we're going to do this sometime. And I'm like that boy that said, I'm just going along really on my way, and I didn't realize you're calling to me, and I'm going to go over here. Just search your heart. For Jesus, as you speak to us, may you respond. Take it at your word. Whosoever shall call upon you, you say, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, call on you, shall be saved. Promise to the Lord. And you say, call upon you. Jesus, if you speak to our heart, I thank you that you're real, living, and you're active right now. And help us out. Speak to us. Thank you.